face in a crucial stage. It's not because of foreign wars we wage, more to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws, too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men, and I won't be ruled by the dancing wind. Taking your rights to self-defense. They say you're safe, but they don't make sense. Not turn into guns. All the unions always ask for. All we buy is made on foreign shores. Come a day when you'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made men, and I won't be ruled by the dancing.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. That is, of course, if you're listening to the live broadcast, which is being emanated from Roane County, Tennessee on August the 20th, 2019. Just a few moments after 8 p.m. Eastern. This is the singular one-hour-long program, so it's kind of a standalone thing. At the bottom of the hour, I'm scheduled to be joined by Dr. Michael Bussler. He, of course, is a Ph.D. doctor. He's a public policy analyst. He's a professor of finance at Stockton University, and he also has been known to write an article or two. Of course, I'm greatly downplaying that. You can find his work just about everywhere where politics are followed and where finance is followed. In the meanwhile, I definitely want to thank everybody for joining us. And as always, I appreciate you being here. Before we get too far into things, I'm glancing into the chat room, and it does not appear that anyone is with us in the chat room. That's highly unusual. Maybe a late-growing crowd, but we are just getting started. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that we're looking at. Should be an interesting conversation once we get to that point. And strangely enough, we've already got a caller calling in, and they have raised their hand. I don't normally take unsolicited calls, but you know what? We'll take a chance on this one, and tell you what, caller, go ahead. You are on the air.
Hi, I just came across your show related to the topic of Hong Kong and the world economy. I'm actually a global visionary, and I share common background with President Trump, but I'm not into the ego like he is. I look to support him to unite the country and start tapping into the untapped areas that we haven't been tapping into, and there's a whole new path for global economics that's starting to rise through strategies that I'm making people aware of that are unlimited, and it's going to change the whole dynamics of the way all businesses do businesses globally too. And people will realize the fact that election day is every day you buy a product. So if you're buying lead-based painted toys out of China through Walmart, your kids don't have a choice, but you do. A lot of people don't even realize Walmart paid a fine of $82 million for dumping pesticides down storm drains. They paid the fine. It's in now the consciousness of people, but this is where ethics and morals are going to come back into the forefront. I say that any company today, you can have the best product, the best customer service. It's no longer enough. You have to be good to your employees, your customers, the environment, and give back to the community in ethical, legal, moral, transparent ways. That's where things are going.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. And is there anything else you'd like to share before we
Share a big website where you can see who I am, because I have letters from the president to me, as well as a front page Wall Street Journal article. I love to document as much as I can when I talk about things. And I was written up in this front page Wall Street Journal article in 1983. It triggered an investigation that eventually caused the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House in shame. The article beautifully described back then how special interests and lobbies have totally corrupted Washington. It was before Ross Perot talked about it, but due to apathy and people not knowing what to do or how to do it, that's why we're in the state we're in now. But things will be reversing, because there's too many people that are starting to look at things with all the technologies, and once they stop Twittering and Facebooking their lives away and learn how to empower themselves with their own networks, we'll start moving in a beautiful way for our future. So if I can give three words, you can Google it. We'll bring you to a page on this big website, and you'll see I've had a pretty bizarre life.
I will go right ahead. Feel free to share.
Yes. If you just Google my last name, Traulson, that's spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy, then put the word and, A-N-D, and then Trump, T-R-U-M-P. It will bring you to a page on a website, rootingoutcorruption.weebly.com. You'll see some interesting text and documents on that page, and then look over all the other pages on the homepage. There's a blog, creativity777.com, which has a poem I authored that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library, and there's a letter from former President Obama to me related to the economy. And it'd be a very interesting page to review, the media review page, because I had interaction with a high-level CIA operative back in the early 80s after reading his book, Harry Rositsky. And the book is fascinating even today to read, because during World War II, people don't know, all the trading companies around the world were headed by CIA operatives. They had a ball. They were making money hand over fist. But now, again, with today's technologies, things are different, and it's the transparency, ethics, and morals that are going to shift everything.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling, and thank you for sharing. And I certainly appreciate it. I'm certain that the listeners will appreciate it. Real quick, one more time, let them know what to Google, just in case somebody missed it. And yeah. Then thank you.
Yeah, you can even just put my name on YouTube or Google it. There's all kinds of interviews and websites. My name is Hugh, H-U-G-H, Traulson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. There's a Twitter page that's managed on my behalf that has some interesting posts, and then the big website, the easiest way to get to it is just to Google three words, my last name, Traulson, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy, the word and, A-N-D, and then Trump, T-R-U-M-P. I thank you so much for the time, and I'd like to continue listening.
All right, that of course is and thank you very much for calling. All right, now it's always good to have a caller right off the bat that has something interesting to share, especially on topic. So as always, I appreciate that. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Michael Buschler. At that point in time, we'll have a a full-blown conversation about the dynamics. And, of course, you know he's always got some very interesting takes on the economy. Very learned individual. But before we get there, first half, definitely wanted to cover a couple of things first. Not on the specific major topic of the day, but in case you missed it, Planned Parenthood has decided that they are going to avoid the Title X federal payouts. Basically, Planned Parenthood picked abortions over family planning. They announced that they would prefer to abandon Title X funding altogether rather than follow the new Department of Health and Human Services rule. That rule, of course, is referred to as the Protect Life Rule, which bars clinics that participate in Title X from referring women to abortion providers. Now, Planned Parenthood has been fighting this new standard since it was first announced, but the courts this particular go-around have not been particularly friendly, at least not as friendly to the leftist organization as they're accustomed to. Yes, this outfit that was founded by avowed eugenicist and clearly racist Margaret Sanger, they are quite accustomed to getting the friendly role when it comes to the court system, but they are not getting it this go around. 20-plus states and the District of Columbia, along with the American Medical Association, the Oregon Medical Association, local Planned Parenthood affiliates in the Oregon area, and two individual healthcare providers all joined in with Planned Parenthood and filed suit in Oregon. Obviously, these national organizations filing in Oregon, doing a little judge shopping. Imagine that. Well, back in July, a federal appeals court ruled that the rule change could in fact go into effect while the lawsuit continues to run its course. Planned Parenthood then requested a stay from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to delay the rule implementation until the legal challenge could be resolved. Strangely enough, though, the Ninth Circuit said no. Certainly unexpected by a lot of folks. But I don't know if you guys have been noticing, but here lately, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has been following the rule of law a little bit more than the usual leftist activism from the bench that we've been seeing for so long. And the makeup of the judges have not changed drastically. There are a few more conservative justices as currently sitting in the Ninth, but not really that much. I mean, it's been a change of two judges. That's been it. At any rate, I'd like to take the opportunity now to point out the fact that, you know, and just as a matter of making note, the so-called Protect Life Rule really isn't a new rule. Not really. The statute that governs Title X has said, at least for most of the program's history, quote, "None of the funds appropriated under this title shall be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning," end quote. Now, that language has been consistently ignored since the inception of Title X. This new rule simply will make it impossible to ignore the language. The new rule basically says you cannot ignore the language. This will be implemented. And, of course, while Planned Parenthood, along with other pro-abortion groups, they'll be whining, they'll be calling it – in fact, they already have been – calling it unethical. They've referred to it as a gag rule. Ultimately, they know that the clear distinction between abortion and family planning that is laid out in Title X has been upheld by the Supreme Court already in a little case – and you're free to do your research here – a little case – known as Rust versus Sullivan. Now, as this legal challenge moves to higher courts because of the precedent of Rust versus Sullivan, it's far less likely that the courts are going to side with the abortion mill pretending to be a women's health organization. So when the Ninth Circuit refused to give the stay of implementation, Planned Parenthood had a choice to make. They either follow the rule or they give up the money. Of course, when you understand what Planned Parenthood is behind the facade, well, then you know there was really no choice at all. They prey upon the poor and profit from the destruction of the unborn. They dumped Lena Wen, a physician who led Planned Parenthood for less than a year, because she wasn't politically aggressive enough for the board's taste. They wanted someone who was going to be out there pushing every single state to pass laws like New York's late-term abortion law. Wen's only mistake, you know, other than supporting abortion on demand, was in believing the lie. That, of course, being that Planned Parenthood was a healthcare organization. Now, Wen's political dismissal, along with the decision to walk away from Title X, are just further evidence of the true agenda of the single most significant cause of death in the Black community. Planned Parenthood has no commitment to family planning. Their commitment is to the wholesale slaughter of the unborn. They target specific communities. They bully companies into large contributions. They illegally sell fetal body parts. And they take every last taxpayer dollar that politicians will let them have. The decision to give up Title X money? Well, that's going to be seen as a victory for life by a lot of folks. But when you really stop to think about it, Title X only accounts for about 15% of what Planned Parenthood gets in federal funding each year. Furthermore, most years, the entire federal funding total, well, that makes up less than 40% of their total annual budget. In fact, lots of years, it makes up a lot less than 40. 40 has like been the top level in the past two decades, and it only hit that once. The baby-ending conglomerate will hardly miss the roughly $60 million they'll be losing from not getting Title X dollars. But a real pro-life victory would be ending all taxpayer dollars from making their way into the coffers of Margaret Sanger's legacy. Taxpayers should not be funding any organization that provides abortions, period, no matter how the dollars they receive are budgeted, no matter what whatever accounting tricks they play, because every penny they get, they can utilize for one thing that allows all the other money to go towards their primary purpose. Now, abortion is not health care. No matter what the people making money off it will tell you, and that, by the way, includes the politicians receiving campaign contributions from Planned Parenthood, who then turn around and work to protect the flow of federal dollars back to Planned Parenthood. It's a secular little game. The fact that they're willing to walk away rather than stand up for this rule means two things. They clearly understand what is, of course, a huge dollar amount for you and me. It's a drop in the bucket for them. Their private sector donations normally eclipse what they get in total from the federal government, which is normally in excess of $230 million annually. Now, Susan B. Komen, as an example I've used in the past, they have tried repetitively to separate themselves from Planned Parenthood. And they ultimately continue to get bullied into staying a card-carrying sponsor member. I've told you on multiple occasions that I refuse to buy Girl Scout cookies because of the Girl Scouts association with Planned Parenthood. Not the best of relationships for an organization that's supposed to be lighting the way for the next generation of young women. The concepts and the ideas of abortion on demand being just another casual way to practice birth control, it's forget religious implications. There is a deeper moral value, a human value, the loss of life in such a reckless and haphazard way only because you choose not to take personal responsibility for your actions. It's mind-boggling that there are people that are still willing to stand up and take the side of this organization when there is little doubt that there is no place for federal taxpayer dollars to be going to an organization like Planned Parenthood, and definitely not to Planned Parenthood. They do not practice what they preach. They do not do the things that they claim publicly. The level of health care they provide for most people is nothing more than a cursory examination and a referral to another free clinic for anything other than providing an abortion. You may find an exception here and there, but for the most part, across the country, this is business as usual. They are known to bully former employees who have changed their minds about what is transpiring behind closed doors. They're known to bully whoever gets in their way, and they manage to get celebrities and leftist politicians, in particular, those, like I pointed out earlier, who receive large contributions for campaign purposes, they get them to do a lot of their dirty work. Just recently, a jury ordered Planned Parenthood to pay $3 million to a former director who was exposing lies and negligence. This happened in Phoenix, Arizona. An Arizona jury unanimously awarded $3 million in damages to a former Planned Parenthood director who was fired after reporting an abortionist's illegal conduct and high complication rates, falsification of affidavits and patient records, incomplete abortions, and failure to report statutory rape. Did you keep track of how many laws they violated in that little bit that I just mentioned? Myra Rodriguez, who managed to rise to the level of running three Planned Parenthood clinics in Arizona and worked for the organization for a total of 17 years before she was dismissed, she sued the organization after being wrongfully terminated from her position all the way back in October of 2017. Her crime was repeatedly making claims that Planned Parenthood was endangering the health and safety of its patients. What makes this particular situation worse is Rodriguez is an undocumented alien. She's illegally in the country. Looked like a good hire to the fine folks in Arizona's Planned Parenthood. And part of what made it such a good hire is then, after they dismissed her, they tried to use her immigration status as a tool to silence her. Now, that's just one group of Planned Parenthood operating in one state, right? That's not possibly indicative. Well, what about Project Veritas's videos, multiple locations in California in particular, where they were making arrangements to sell body parts, where they were making jokes about what kind of car they were going to buy? The callousness, the lack of emotion, the lack of feeling, the lack of understanding that the body tissue they're talking about is a human being in the act of becoming. When want to give a quick shout-out to the folks hanging out in the chat room. We've got Bigfoot, Boyd the Alaskan, and Vorpal Bite All hanging with us. Glad to have all you guys in here. Thanks for joining. Now, Planned Parenthood said everything you need to know about their commitment to family planning. If there was any doubt whatsoever before. Now, for most people who listen to the show, I know I don't have to explain to you who Margaret Sanger is. I know I don't have to explain to you the legacy that this organization continues to drive forward. I don't have to tell you how many hours I've been scratching my head trying to figure out why so many good-hearted people can still support this outfit. But it's insidious, and it continues to spread. And I don't understand how anybody at this point, after seeing their willingness to walk away from Title X, after their willingness to try and somehow make it seem like Donald Trump is just out to get them, that's the reason for the Protect Life Rule. The Protect Life Rule is just an establishment of actually referring back to the law, the statute under which Title X was created. It says it clearly, plain as day. There should not be taxpayer dollars used when any organization is utilizing abortion as part of the, quote, family planning. I don't know how much clearer you can make it. I don't know what else you have to say. Obviously, you have celebrities like, well, Miss Milano, for example, who just recently made headlines with her statement about how the quality of her life would be so much less if she hadn't had two abortions in the early 90s. The most tragic part is now she'll have no idea of how the quality of her life may have been so much better than it is now if she'd had the joy of being a parent. But if you weren't ready for children at that point in time, it's not like there isn't a ton of very effective means to prevent pregnancy that's readily available and relatively cheap. So it's not even a matter of what Alano could have afforded at the time. Presumably she could have afforded most than most people. But, you know, got to push the agenda. At any rate, let's go ahead and do the Edwards Notebook and then the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. And after that, if all goes well and I have no technical hiccups, we'll be joined by Dr. Michael Bussler, PhD. So stay with me, guys. I will be right back.
The leftist war on coal for fuel in America is a major hoax. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, leftists seeking to economically cripple America say that they are concerned about polluted air around the world, but yet they ignore the biofuel industry practice of destroying forests in Great Britain and the United States, which is more polluting and much less efficient than coal to harvest, handle, and burn, and has a very low heat value. It will take many decades of forest regrowth to match the efficient CO2 emissions of burning high-energy coal. Most coal-fired power stations are built on a coal field with reserves to last the entire life of the power station. The coal is mined efficiently and is a continuous, uninterrupted source for our energy needs. But wood burning for fuel in Great Britain outpaces forest regrowth efforts and is heavily subsidized and even uses massive amounts of wood from U.S. forests. This method of energy production causes large emissions from CO2, but that's ignored by those seeking to break the back of the United States economy by destroying our clean coal energy production. Wake up, America, and walk away from the biofuel baloney. I'm Ron Edwards. You can follow me on Twitter at the Ron Edwards, and we'll meet on another page from the Edwards Notebook.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that the Vets Center celebrated their 40th anniversary in June? Robert Wilkie, head of the VA, said of the Vets Centers, "The Vets Centers have a long-standing legacy of building trust, fostering community, and providing confidential counseling, outreach, and referral services. Over this 40 years, 300,000 veterans from Vietnam and other wars have taken advantage of this great program. Many Vets Centers are participating with Songs and Stories for Soldiers. So here's your veterans tip of the day. It's not too late to ask for help, and there are over 300 centers across the United States with 80 mobile units. Go to va.gov and look for your nearest vet center. I've been to some of these, and they're safe places to go. Remember, people do want to help you." This has been Dan Perkins with your veterans tip of the day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for staying with us through that brief break. And it is once again my pleasure and honor to welcome back to the show policy analyst, professor of finance at Stockton University, on the front lines, trying to bring a full and thorough understanding of finance to America's youth. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, Dr. Michael Bussler. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us once again. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. It's always my pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into things. Obviously, we've had a lot of market fluctuations here lately.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty obvious the situation going on in Hong Kong has played a major factor in that. The ongoing trade war with China also makes investors really, really nervous. So with all that in play, obviously, the concerns become what happens to the global economy if Hong Kong falls to the communists, because Hong Kong for some time now has been one of those major driving markets for the world.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And Hong Kong is in kind of a unique situation. They were under British control until 1997, and then it got turned over to China. And the thought was that China would maintain or allow Hong Kong to maintain much of their freedoms. China actually set up what was referred to as a two-system government, where they allowed the people of Hong Kong to elect their own governor and leaders, but they still exercised much control over Hong Kong. China needs Hong Kong mostly for the capital markets. China, as you know, is the second largest economy in the world. They need large sums of capital, and most of it comes through Hong Kong. And also the Hong Kong airport. I think it's the largest in Asia, and they need that to conduct commerce also. So it's very valuable. China's in a tough spot in that the people of Hong Kong want freedom. In fact, in some of their protests, they've been waving the American flag and even singing the American national anthem. And even though we have our problems here and the divided nature of people today and the bitterness between the parties, even with all that, I think the rest of the world still views the U.S. As a beacon of freedom. And they want to emulate the freedom that the U.S. has. And Hong Kong is used to having freedom. And as China gradually took it away, they became more edgy about this. What finally tipped it off was China wanted to implement an extradition rule that said if a crime is committed by a Hong Kong resident in Hong Kong, China has the right to extradite them and try them in China, where the fear is they won't really get a fair trial. Finally, with this, I think the people of Hong Kong, particularly the young and the students, simply said, we've had enough. And we're not going to allow this to continue, and that's bringing on these protests that they're having. I'd also like to add that the U.S. is in a very difficult position here. Generally, the U.S. supports any people that are looking for freedom. We usually stand behind those people. Now, if we did that, that would create a lot of tensions with China. At the same time, there are two other major issues. One, we're trying to negotiate for the first time really since Nixon normalized relations with China, we're trying to negotiate a fair trade deal. And it's become very difficult, especially because China doesn't want to honor our intellectual property rights. So it makes that very difficult. So we have the Hong Kong situation, we have the trade situation, and then the U.S. is trying to denuclearize North Korea, and China is the greatest supporter of North Korea. So we have to try to work something out there. So it's very difficult times now, and I think the Trump administration has got to play this very gingerly to try to reach the goals they want to reach.
All right. Well, my first question is, how would you evaluate the use of tariffs, which was the first effort that Trump moved forward against China in trying to negotiate this fairer trade deal? And what is your thoughts on him kind of backing off, which seems to be more of an acknowledgement that he's concerned about the potential of a more expensive holiday season hurting political aspects as far as elections are concerned? What are your views on those two issues?
Well, let me say, first off, I'm a free market economist. And as such, I favor free market economics, which means we don't really like to see any tariffs placed on anything. Now, having said that, President Trump gets into office. He takes a look at every single one of the trade deals that the U.S. was in, and for whatever reason, every single one of them was slanted in favor of our trading partner and to the detriment of the U.S. For instance, if we make a car in the U.S. and if the car is made in Europe and sold in the U.S., we charge a 2.5% tariff. If we make a car in the U.S. and sell it in Europe, they charge a 10% tariff. If we sell the car in China, they charge a 25% tariff. Well, this lopsidedness that has gone on forever, especially with China, Trump said it's got to stop. So he told everybody, when he got into office, he said to all of our trading partners, he said, listen, I'd like to renegotiate these trading deals. Every one of the trading partners said, well, look, we're not in any hurry to do this. They're all very favorable to us. So what does a business person do with a reluctant trading partner? And remember, Trump is a business person, not a politician. A business person would create a sense of urgency. So he put on the tariffs on virtually everybody, and it did create a sense of urgency. And as it stands now, already Mexico and Canada have come up with new trade deals. South Korea has a new trade deal. Japan and India are negotiating with us, and now China's negotiating with us. So the goal for the Trump administration would be not to have any tariffs on anything. I don't know whether it'll ever get there, but the tariffs have worked. They brought people to the table. We had a deal with China in April. At the last minute, for whatever reason, they backed out. So President Trump said, I'll give you 90 days till September 1st, and then we're going to put the tariffs back on. And he intended to do that. And then he took a look at some of the harm that that might cause to U.S. consumers and to some U.S. businesses. And he said, look, we're moving forward somewhat with China. I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll give you another couple of months. I think he said till December 1st to try to get this resolved. And if we can, there's no more need for tariffs. If we can't, then we'll see what we have to do. So the tariffs are meant to be a short-term tool to be used to bring our trading partners to the bargaining table and finally negotiate something that's fair to the U.S. so our manufacturers can sell in those foreign markets.
All right. Well, then the next question really becomes, if it comes to an all-out trade war, which, you know, the media likes to try and paint this as being a huge, huge deal, much bigger than what it is, just because it's caused some fluctuations. And of course, the media's also like to make this huge deal over the bond rate inversion, which, yes, that has been known to happen before recessions hit, but it also has been known to happen in then it switched back with no long-term effects on the economy.
That's right.
What are we really looking at as far as if we were to get to a full-blown trade war? Is that going to hurt the American economy more so than the Chinese economy? Because from everything that I've seen, it seems like it really looks to be like part of the reason China is trying to crack down so much on Hong Kong is because their economy is already struggling. I don't see them surviving as long as the United States could.
Yeah, the bottom line is you're right. China needs us much more than we need them. The products we get from China, we could produce ourselves. They're a little more expensive, but we could produce ourselves, like steel. They put a tariff on steel. It ended up raising the price of steel, but then U.S. steel became priced well, and now we're making our own steel. They put tariffs on food, and they don't have the ability to produce enough food to feed their entire population. The other problem is that by putting tariffs on food, it raises the price. Now, the reason U.S. manufacturers are producing in China in the first place is their labor costs are so low. So you have workers who are not making very high wages, and suddenly food goes up in price. It's going to create some severe problems. Their economy has slowed down considerably. A little difficult to tell because they don't give completely accurate information, but it looks like their economy has slowed down considerably. Based on the way that they've grown and the debt that they're carrying, they really need for their economy to grow. So I don't know how much longer China can hold out before coming up with a deal. They definitely can't wait till the 2020 elections and hope President Trump doesn't win. I don't think they can wait anywhere near that long. So I'm confident maybe by the end of the year we'll start to see a little progress on that front.
All right. Well, then what would you ascertain? And I'm asking you to try and bridge the gap and here and be a little clairvoyant and reach into the body politic as opposed to the world of finance, which I know is where you're most comfortable. But
yeah.
How much would this continued action possibly push China into a panic reaction and exacerbate further the current situation where they're looking to seize more control over Hong Kong? And then ultimately, if they did that, what does that do to the global economy?
Well, I don't think that China would let this turn into a real severe problem where it pushed their economy into recession. And they may be very close to that level now. So I don't think they'll let it get a whole lot worse than it already is. Now, if it does get worse, China's the second largest economy in the world. And there's a lot of other countries that greatly depend on commerce with China. So if China ends up going into a recession and things get bad there, it will have some negative impacts throughout much of the world and will tend to slow the world economy down. We're not quite as dependent on exports as many other countries are, so it probably would not be that much of a hurt on us. However, there are a number of companies that sell a lot of products abroad, and some of those companies would be hurt. Caterpillar, I know they sell a lot of equipment in Europe and Asia, and they're very fearful of this war getting any worse.
All right. Well, with an eye on the global markets outside of China, is there any other looming threat that you see that could pose a serious risk to the U.S. economy and thereby also potentially risked the Democrats regaining control of the White House? Because obviously with the likability ratings and the way Donald Trump carries himself, there's a lot of folks that if the economy tanks might start rethinking. And I hate to think of that because it's like very short memory. They forget what the economic policies of the other side is. But there something else, maybe even a bigger threat that's just off the radar because of all this media attention there, even possibly within our own borders?
I don't see any real threats to our economy for some time. They're starting to talk about recession because that curve inverted, for a very brief time one day, and it's back to normal now. But I don't see a recession for at least 2 or 3 years. Now, having said that, you asked about what are some possible trouble areas. Much of Europe has slowed down considerably. Germany, the last quarter was negative for Germany, so they may be entering a recession. Italy, which is the third largest economy in Europe, they're teetering on recession too. And I don't know what's going to happen with Great Britain and their Brexit. It doesn't look like they're coming up with a deal. They may try to leave without a deal, and that could cause some upheavals also. So I think most of the threats to the U.S. economy come from foreign markets. I think here in the U.S., the fundamentals are extremely strong. Consumer confidence is up. Retail sales are up. Wages are up. Incomes are up. The unemployment rate is rock bottom, as low as it's ever been in history. There are more job openings today than there are unemployed people. So it makes for a very good job market. So we have fundamentals that are still will say that the economy is strong. So as long as there are no major shocks, now we used to worry, suppose the price of oil spike, would that be a shock? But now that we produce so much of our own energy needs, and we're a net exporter rather than an importer, I don't think that's much of a threat either. I still see everything looking very good for the U.S. Economy. The Federal Reserve not raised interest rates 8 times between the end of 2016 and the end of 2018. The economy would be growing faster today. The Federal Reserve realized they made a mistake. They lowered interest rates last month by 0.25 point. My view was that should have been 0.5 point. They're likely going to drop interest rates again in September when they meet on the 17th and the 18th. And that should spur some of the markets, like the housing market, which had started to slow down. The automobile market had been slowing down a bit. So some of those markets will pick up with these lower interest rates. And I see still positive growth ahead.
Well, that all sounds great, Doctor, and I certainly hope that your vision here is dead on. That would be great. But what would you say to someone who has been, looking at the media, seeing all this hype? I've heard some people now call out and say that we have an active effort to try and tank the economy. We have people like Bill Maher out here saying that he's hoping for a recession. Is there anything that you see as maybe contrived, maybe some artificial attempts to damage our economy? Just the over-reporting of the inverse bond rates, for example, and I really think there was a lot of over-reporting of that story. It seems like a concerted effort. We've got the New York Times now admitting that they're building their apparatus to attack Trump, not to deliver the news. Would you be concerned any at all about anything like that?
Well, certainly that kind of stuff doesn't help us. And those people are more concerned with getting Trump out of office than seeing the U.S. prosper. But so far, all of that media that's been negative about Trump, and I saw 3 studies, and all 3 said that over 90% of the media coverage of President Trump is negative. And that certainly doesn't help him. But when people look at the results, people are most concerned with their economic situation first, and are they going to be safe? And when you look at what Trump has done worldwide, I mean, he wiped out ISIS. They're still around doing some things, but he essentially wiped out ISIS. He's standing up to China. He's standing up to North Korea. He's standing up to Iran. And the U.S. is getting more respect in the world, and that's ultimately going to make us safer. With regard to economic conditions, there are more jobs than there are unemployed people. So if you're in a job and you have any kind of skill at all and you're not doing well in your job, there should be other opportunity out there for you. And where people start seeing that there's opportunity and taking advantage of the opportunity and feeling good, you know, you get into the voting booth, and no matter what the hype says, you're pretty reluctant to say, I want to do something that'll change this, because what we have now is a heck of a lot better than what we had 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that I almost chuckle every time I hear, especially a member of the squad, when they like to talk about how, well, the reason unemployment is so low is because everyone's working two and three jobs. And I'm thinking, well, that's still a lot better than under the Obama economy where there were zero jobs. It's good to be able to find two, because before there weren't any. But
that's exactly right. Yep. And now there are plenty of jobs, and people are getting wages are going up, incomes are going up. It's certainly much better.
Absolutely. All right, as usual, Doctor, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it as always. Please feel free to share any websites you'd like to, and if you're still inviting people to follow you on social media, feel free to share that as well.
Thank you. I'd like to. So on my Twitter account, it's at MBUSLER. That's at MBUSLER. If you're on Facebook, I have a Facebook page called Funding Democracy. So if you want to follow me there, you can see all my columns. I'd love to have you follow me.
All right. Once again, thank you very much, Doctor, and continue the hard work of trying to teach young Americans the intricacies of finance.
Thank you. I'll do my best. My pleasure to be here.
All right. So thank you, Doctor. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. Michael Bushler. And now, waiting for a chance to come on the line, and I know he's absolutely chomping at the bit after peeking in the chat room here a second ago. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, a relatively frequent caller and host of Understanding the Times in Which We Live that can be found right here at BTR, Mr. Joseph Gibson. Joe, thanks for calling. I know you got a lot to say. We've got about 6 minutes.
Okay, I won't keep you that long, but I support Tap Into the Truth. I appreciate what you're doing. I always give you a shout-out on my show also. I don't know if you tune in or not, but that's fine. I always refer people to your podcast show. Your last guest, the democracy, you know, tell me where democracy is mentioned at all in the Constitution of the United States. Not the United States of America, the United States. Big clue there, hint. We are a republic, and capitalism based on imperialism is what the money changers and the Federal Reserve and the central bankers have achieved. And there's going to be a major shift in the next few months. Mark this down on Tap Into the Truth. I'm telling you the truth right now. There's going to be a major shift. It may affect most of you. Many of you may not even notice it. Some of you may. In the bond market, T-bills, gold, silver. There's going to be a major shift. China has devalued its currency already. They were the first one. They are number one in the global economy. The United States is actually second. But Donald, I do agree with your last caller about Donald Trump in some ways. Donald Trump is not a part of this globalist economy. He's a businessman, and he's looking out for us as a republic. And there's many things I can't say or talk about here about Donald Trump, but many of you do know from previous calls or even on my show that I am with the Republic of the United States, the lawful government that was restored back in 2007 when we arrested the bonds of all 50 governors in the United States of that you call America. However, that's a different story. Maybe we can get into that sometime and explain it. But what I'm trying to say is that the central bankers here, they have a scheme, and a lot of you are going to be in big trouble real soon. Some of you may not. Just pay attention. The corporate news media is already talking about recession, right? We talked about this earlier on the show. Your guest did. They're already hinting to you. It's kind of like a vampire. A vampire cannot come into your house until you invite him in. Okay? This is called secret societies, New World Order nonsense. That's a whole nother show. But these people have to tell you what they're doing first. And if you do nothing about it, and you want to play the game thinking you can go to the polls and be a corporate citizen and vote, you know, as a corporate citizen and become and be a part of their jurisdiction, you're mistaken. You have no say-so. Your representatives don't represent you. Just look at this Congresswoman Elmar or these Muslim congresswomen out there, the Squad of Four, they want to call them, whatever the hell they want to label them. Why is this woman going to Israel? Wasn't she elected to represent the views of those people in her district in Minnesota? Why is it so important for her to go to Israel? That's not her job. Because they don't represent you, folks. They don't care about you. It's a big club, and you're not in it. And these people are selected. Now, Donald Trump, I do support. Donald Trump is our last awakening here in America. It's our last awakening. We're one election away. I know you say you have 6 minutes, so let me wrap this up. We're one election away here in the corporation from seeing America so divided that we may end up in a civil war. And the military will stand down. They must abide by the Constitution. But when civil law breaks down, our laws and our cities, and we see what's happening in New York City, people throwing water on police, our cities are in chaos. America is divided. This is all a big part of a big plan and big agenda. And Russia is involved. Israel is involved. I support the land of Israel. They have a right to exist. I'm a Christian. I believe in I understand the Bible, rightly divide the Bible. But there's so much to talk about here in just 6 minutes. But I wanted to say to the last guest there, he's talking about the economy. You know, there's a lot. Look up the Money Masters. It gives you a 3.5-hour documentary on the Money Masters. Look up The Creature from Jekyll Island. Explains the Federal Reserve, the banking cartels. And just read the Federalist Papers. They've warned us about these central bankers. There's a lot to talk about, like I said, but I want to thank you. Tap into the Truth. Great podcast, as always. I know what you're trying to do here, and I respect what you're trying to do. I love you as a brother, and brothers and sisters out there. And like the host said, I do have a lot to say, but thank you for allowing me to come on here on the last minute of your show. And God bless all of you. Be safe, and have the best day ever today, even though it's winding down here at 8:56 in North Carolina. I love you all.
All right. All right, Joe, real quick before you go there, please let everybody know where they can find you at.
Understanding the times in which you live in today. All you got to do is type in my name, Joseph Gibson Online Radio. Understanding the times. I do a show every Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Understanding the times in which you live in today. We take everybody live, uncensored, kind of like this host. And I do give a shout-out to Tap Into the Truth, Global Patriot Network, other blog talk shows that are out there. You know, they love you. They're out there trying to wake people up. We may not always agree on everything, but you know what? We're out there talking about it. That's our First Amendment right, because we sure as hell don't want to go to the Second Amendment, do we? We don't need another civil war in this country. We preach nonviolence on my show, and I'm sure this show does also. We need to talk about things no matter how angry we may get or disagree. Amen, brother. I love you.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much. As always, appreciate the call. And I know I keep saying this, and I know I haven't followed up yet, but we are definitely going to get together soon. I do listen to the show. I have tried to catch it live a couple of times. I do listen in the archives. I appreciate the open forum. You've got a great program over there, and I love the fact that you are almost always overflowing with callers. So obviously your message is reaching, and you are absolutely correct when you say that even if we don't agree 100% across the board, we do recognize we're all the same team, and that team is Team America. So again, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joseph Gibson, host of Understanding the Times in Which We Live, which is a great show if you guys haven't been checking it out. By all means, you need to. But I am down under 90 seconds now, so I want to thank everybody who was here. I want to thank Dr. Michael Bushler for joining us and bringing his insight. I want to thank Joseph, of course, for calling, and I want to thank the first caller. And thank you so much for calling in right off the bat and bringing that information as well. Hope you guys will check out all the sites, all the information that's available, because that is the other side of the argument. You need to do your own homework, because what do I say at the end of each and every one of these shows? Don't take my word for it. Definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort, but more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. That's it for me for tonight, everybody. Hope to see you tomorrow night, where we'll be back live for 2 hours. And y'all have a great night. I'm out.
is using both hands.
Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Gun control
is using both hands.
Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family.
Using both hands.